This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Therapeutic communities are drug-free environments in which people with addictions and other problems can live together in an organized and structured way. The community environment promotes change and can make a drug-free life possible. A number of therapeutic communities are currently operating on Vancouver Island. Now, a symposium in Nanaimo will provide an overview of therapeutic communities and opportunities for partnerships to explore the development of therapeutic communities. We're joined in the studio by France Tellier of the Nanaimo Region John Howard Society and on the phone by Michael Young of Royal Roads University.
Welcome to People First Radio, both of you. France Tellier, therapeutic community approaches for the treatment of drug abuse and addiction have existed for about 40 years, yet it seems like something new and innovative. Tell us more about where these communities came from.
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of therapeutic communities around the world. Many of these have been operating for many years. There is a TC in Ontario that has been operating for 30 years. In the 1970s, research was done that put in question the need for residential treatment for addiction. And as part of the deinstitutionalization, many residential programs were closed. The remaining programs seemed to operate in isolation for a period of time. The programs that flourished during this time eventually began meeting and sharing what did work. They formulated standards and developed the TC model. In many countries, associations were formed that provided a forum for this exchange of ideas.
Michael Young, you've been involved as a faculty member in the Justice Studies program at Royal Roads University for a number of years. You've also been involved in the Woodwind therapeutic community. Tell us more about the intersection of justice, corrections, and addiction, and how therapeutic communities help with those complex challenges.
The therapeutic community gives the residents a chance to live their life in a safe environment and take the kind of risks that are needed for people to recover from addictions. The intersection with justice is that we realize that many people that end up in the justice system often end up as a result of addictions, which are often overlapped with mental health issues as a result of what Francis noted as deinstitutionalization. So the therapeutic community is a context where people can practice the skills of daily living in a way that they get constant feedback, both positive and corrective, in a way that helps them to live their life. The term we like to use is what we call the biographical path, and everybody takes their own time and their own ways of recovering, and the community context is where we eventually all live, and so this is sort of like a practice run for them. It's a microcosm of society. It's its own little community where people can work and live.
France Tellier, tell us more about why therapeutic communities are useful and a little bit about the emergence of these communities and the community model on Vancouver Island here.
The usefulness is that, like Michael said, it helps individuals form a sense of community. And I want to stress that the therapeutic communities are not for everyone who have experienced some addiction issues. This is for people who have tried different ways and have not been successful and absolutely need to change their way of thinking and their behaviors. They're useful because we look at the model of addiction differently in the sense that it's a disorder of the whole person. And substance abuse is actually a symptom of a secondary and is secondary in the treatment process. And it's based on experiential learning through direct confrontation of an individual's values, behaviors, and attitudes. The community is a very structured, as is our community, a very structured way of interacting, and it's about teaching individuals that. That's why they're really useful. And as far as how they all evolved on the island, it's kind of interesting because, well, that's a fairly difficult question to answer, actually, because from my research, in 2003 or 4, can't remember exactly, the City of Vancouver sent representatives to Italy to look at a very successful therapeutic community there. And so they came back looking at how to do that in Vancouver. And at the same time, there was a growing awareness that some individuals are not effectively addressing their addiction issues through the conventional treatment system. And then research from the United States, England, as well as Italy, regarding therapeutic communities were showing good results, in effect appeared to be, to us, best practice. So I think they developed independently, but they came from the same time and sources.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
A number of therapeutic communities on Vancouver Island and in the northwest British Columbia region are providing supportive environments for people with addictions and other problems to live drug-free lives. Structured programs provide support for anywhere from a few months to a few years as individual residents experience change in behaviors, attitudes, and values. Now, a National Therapeutic Community Symposium is being held in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island from March 5th to the 8th, 2012. The symposium will provide a range of high-profile expert speakers as well as workshops led by people who are living in and leading individual therapeutic communities. We're joined on the phone by Michael Young, a faculty member in the Justice Studies program at Royal Roads University, and in the studio by France Tellier, the Director of Programs at Nanaimo Region John Howard Society.
France Tellier, Nanaimo Region John Howard Society has been involved in two therapeutic communities in the Nanaimo area. Now, my understanding is the first was or is Guthrie House Therapeutic Community within the Nanaimo Correctional Center, and more recently the Vancouver Island Therapeutic Community, which has replaced the Surfside Recovery House. Tell us more about the challenges that were experienced in bringing those up to operation.
Both of them, really, it's about funding that was the most critical problem. And it was the energy of the individuals that work in there, in the environment, both at the correctional center and at the treatment center, that made it possible, because they certainly are hardworking individuals. At the correctional center, it was the idea that we would separate out a group and that they would become abstinent and that they would interact only with each other and they would learn right living skills was kind of a new idea. And provided some interesting challenges from that perspective. And in the community, it wasn't a challenge. It's not a challenge because we have some great partners. But again, funding is the problem. For example, we'd love to be able to start a program for women, and we have no resources to do that.
Michael Young, you've been involved with the Woodwind Therapeutic Community. What have you seen there, and what have the experiences of that community been in coming to its place in time right now?
Much like France, we've run into the big issue of funding. And budgeting-wise, we're quite a bit different because we do not depend on any provincial dollars. We are basically an entrepreneurial experiment of sorts. So we used financial help of philanthropists to buy and to operate our community. We continually engage in fundraising operations. The second thing that we run into operationally is the use of professionals and paraprofessionals, because the therapeutic community model is not an expert-based approach to treatment. Having people work with us who are used to working in a system that wants to help people or repair people, it's difficult for them to break away from that kind of medical model mentality. And the third thing that we've run into, very different than what France has experienced, is community resistance from the perspective of the outside community. With having a community-based approach to treatment, there's some concern about what that may do to the community in terms of safety, in terms of aesthetics, in terms of crime, in terms of value of property, that sort of thing. So those are some of the big items of difficulty, and there's many other little ones, but the rewards are much, much more important.
France Tellier, in the last moment or two of our interview today, can you tell us what can participants expect to experience at the National Therapeutic Community Symposium?
The symposium will be a great opportunity to learn more about addiction overall, to learn about excellence in treatment for addiction issues, especially residential treatment, and an opportunity to form a Canadian Therapeutic Association.
Michael Young, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I would add that at the symposium, it'll be an excellent place to network. It'll be an excellent place to uncover what therapeutic communities are about and how effective they are at the ground level from our experience in BC, because there are some very good stories to be told.
Thanks to both of you for taking the time to come in and join us, and good luck in the symposium.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael Young teaches courses about comparative legal systems, social policy, and culture at Royal Roads University. He is a keynote speaker at the National Therapeutic Community Symposium, which will be held in Nanaimo from March 5th to the 8th, 2012. France Tellier is the Director of Programs at Nanaimo Region John Howard Society and the lead organizer for the symposium. You can find out more online at canadatc.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.